Okay.
All right.
Take three. Hello, editor. You probably won't hear any of the other ones, but...
But this is take three.
This is take three.
We've been in here for an hour now.
More than that, haven't we? It's almost 3 o'clock.
Don't look at your clock.
Ugh.
Okay. So, I'm going to go through real quickly the plan for, like, the structure for how we do our episodes.
Yeah, maybe we can have that printed right here.
Yes, that'd be so helpful. I'll make, like, a little worksheet for us. Yeah. We're trying to streamline our podcast process. Recording process.
Because usually we just jabber at each other a bunch.
And hope it turns out good, which oftentimes it does, but...
We're both amazing, but...
Sometimes it can take way longer than we want and sometimes create tension that we don't want to create. Yeah. So
now we're on the same page.
Yay. Go Team Parnell.
Okay. So our episodes look like a short integrated intro that we will record at the end of the episode. And then there'll be a pre-recorded intro that you should have already and we will re-record soon, but use that one for now. Next is the beginning of the actual content, which we may or may not have like a recap of things in our life or not, or we might just dive into the content. Then within the content, we might say, here's a good spot for a break. Otherwise, you might need to find one where we will have an ad break for our other content or our shop. Finally, we will end with Allie and I together saying On the Journey with You. Roll to outro music and then maybe some funny bloopers if we say anything funny that's not like particularly useful for the content but could be funny at the end.
Okay.
How was that?
That's great.
Did I miss anything?
No.
This sounds a little funny somehow now.
You have a great podcast voice.
Oh, thank you. Am I sounding okay? I feel froggy or something.
You sound good.
Okay. Maybe it's just my insecurities. Oh, this is why. Hold on.
Cables.
Okay, talking to yours.
Hello, I'm talking. Oh no, mine cut out. There we go. Hello. Is it the headphones or the cable for recording?
I think it's just this headphone jack.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I hear you now.
Yay.
So remember, closer and you get more full, but don't go pop pop right into it because it sounds gross.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, why don't you do the welcome?
Okay, sure. No. Hi, and welcome to Uncut Conversations. In this episode, we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about, which you already heard in the intro. And I just want to say welcome, take a minute, take a deep breath. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. And let's dive right in. Okay, Allie, so what are we talking about today?
All right, so we are going to be talking about generational thinking and being an integrated family. And so these words may be like very foreign. You may be thinking, oh, what is that? What does that mean? Well, we're definitely going to go over that and really why it is so important.
And what it's meant to us.
Yeah, and what it's meant to us.
So first off,
I'm just thinking it's like we're introducing words that nobody really understands.
Right. But that's okay. Because we don't need to talk about that until we're talking about that.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just say it this way. So what we're going to be talking about today is actually. Hang on.
Could say like some ideas that might be new to you.
No, like I really want to sell the concept.
Okay.
But that's because what the
intro is going to be for, right?
Yeah. But I just want to reiterate it. So just like how important this episode is. Okay. Yeah. So this episode is an incredibly important episode. This is actually something that we haven't talked about in the way we're going to talk about it before, because honestly, we didn't really have the language for it beforehand, even though it's something that we've kind of been...
Wrestling with
and working towards as a family already. And the more that we're diving into these concepts, the more we are realizing how incredibly profound and powerful they are. And so what those are is, number one, generational thinking about your family very generationally, not just like this is my life here and now and my kids' life and kind of that's it, and also being a more integrated family. And so again, you may not fully understand what these words are. We're going to talk about that more, but I just want to stress to you how important and pivotal these concepts can be for your life.
And have been for us.
And so I really want you to stay tuned to the very end of the episode. And perhaps by the end, you're going to be like, nope, not for me. And that is totally fine. But I think if you listen until the end of this episode, your mind will be a little bit blown, and you may have some really powerful things to consider. So
nice.
We're going to dive in.
Okay. Jumping right off.
All right. So jumping right off. So what I actually want to start off with is we're going to talk a little bit about like our before, like the before, middle, or beginning, middle, and end, you know, to a story. But I want to talk a bit. Hang on. I got to pause for a sec.
So why don't you start with, it all started at 10 o'clock one night when I was scrolling Instagram, doom scrolling Instagram.
Well, I actually think that it would be better. So here where we have the bullet point of previous date, I actually think we should talk about the previous date first.
Okay.
And then go into the being drawn to and then the trip.
Sure.
That's what I was thinking through is like what makes more sense. So what I want to do, or what we're going to do for you guys is paint a little bit of a picture of where we were probably about 6 to 8 months ago. And then we're going to move into a little bit about where we are at now. So around 6 to 8 months ago, we actually released an episode, I think it was episode 13, around being different. And in that episode, and you can go listen to it if you want the full expanded version, but the really quick summary of it is that really ever since we got married and probably even longer in our life, we've always felt different and we've made different choices than kind of like the main stream of people that we've been around, whether it's like the cool kids in high school.
Everyone's swimming downstream, we're swimming upstream.
Like whether it's the cool kids in high school and we're kind of like the oddball, or, you know, in our family, kind of being like a little bit like the different one in the family, or in church context, like all these different contexts that Paul and I have both seen ourselves in over the years, we've always just made really different choices than the people around us. And that, especially for me, being like more emotionally sensitive person, put me in a state, and us in a state, of just feeling more isolated, more alone, and just feeling like outsiders. And while we were seeing our differences as strengths in a lot of contexts and being like, okay, this is really great, like we have a lot of strength as a family, and like I like that we do things differently, it does feel isolating and lonely, alone.
Hard. Yeah.
And you're kind of like, where are the models for what I'm aiming for? I feel like nobody around me is doing anything like what I'm imagining in my brain. But all of that changed on a fateful night.
At 10 p.m. Doom scrolling Instagram.
Doom scrolling Instagram. And no, really, it probably was that late at night. And no, were the kids still up? Doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. So it all changed one evening in, I think it was around November 2022, when I was scrolling Instagram and I saw this lovely little square pop up in my screen, and it said Orlando community hacked.
Family.
And affordable.
Affordable.
Affordable. Oh. That was the real word that got me.
I don't really want to be an affordable kind of person, but man, we were.
Well.
We are.
I think what it was is that Disney and affordable were put together. Oh, and yes. So I was Disney, like, oh, what? Affordable. You've piqued my interest.
Because I wanted to go to Disney this year too. So that also was a
Yeah. So there's all these things. So anyway, so I'm on Instagram and I see this beautiful little square and I'm like, you've intrigued me. Let me click on your link that everyone tells me to click on. So I clicked on the link
in the bio.
So I clicked on the link and I was brought to a magical sales page. And okay, long story short, there was this amazing opportunity to go and live in a house for 5 days with other families who were of this.
None of which we knew,
but who were of a mindset that we had been kind of like unintentionally
trying to find
moving toward for years and years and years.
And also, we followed the person who posted it for a little while.
Yes, we had not been following this person very long.
We don't know them very well.
Why we trusted them, God only knows, literally. And so it was actually very interesting because it was one of those experiences where I felt very strongly like we need to do this. Like, I feel like our family needs this so badly. And it actually financially did not look like it was going to work out. And so one night, like, we just prayed about it. And, you know, like, we pray about stuff, but I mean, just being candid, like, we don't often see kind of like those immediate kind of prayers or whatever answered. But this is just one of those nights where we prayed. And I don't remember if it was like the next day or within a couple days, but something worked out to where it was very easy for us to afford to go on that trip. And it was just like a no-brainer. And it was like, oh.
Actually, it was a while. It wasn't the next day. It was like several weeks later. Yeah, because it was like
that doesn't matter.
Oh, but it was right around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And I just, it was like, oh.
Yeah, we can cut that part. That doesn't matter.
Okay, fine. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying not to get off topic.
I like details. Go on.
I know. Let's stay on topic. So anyway, so it just didn't seem like it was going to work out. But it did end up working out. And so I think what was really cool, and the reason why I'm highlighting this part of the story, even though we could totally cut this out, is that there are times in our life where we feel a very intense pull to do something, even though it doesn't seem like it could work out naturally. And oftentimes it's like a pull forward kind of feeling. Like you just are like, oh, like this just feels like it's going to unlock something in my life if I do this.
Or like I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And some people are lucky and maybe they hear like God going, hey, go do that right now. Mm-hmm. Or see arrows like on a GPS. That has not happened to us thus far. So, you know, we felt this draw, and Allie did, and I didn't even feel it. I was like, I don't know about this.
And I think that's an important point to make, actually, because, you know, a lot of times we can feel like we need to be in perfect unison with our spouse. But, like, I felt it super strong, and Paul did not, and he was just sort of like, whatever, like, he wasn't sure.
I mean, I'm happy to go to Disney, so.
Right. but he wasn't sure about, like, everything else with it.
Yeah.
But like, because there were certain confirmations that happened that just felt like this divine alignment and timing, it was like, okay, I guess we're going. Like, I guess we should go because this just seems like it feels like all the yeses. And like, if we didn't go, it would be a really stupid thing not to go. So, you know, long story short, like everything ends up working out and we end up going on this trip, this 2-week trip down to Florida, to participate in this event and another one. And it truly was absolutely life-changing for us. And
but not in the way like other people like, oh, it changed my life. Like, it changed something deep inside of us by being surrounded by these people who were striving after this idea that we were striving after and seeing how it actually worked in their life. Mm-hmm. And like, I think too, because they also managed to build multiple businesses and like it really was taking care of them and they were like loving and opening these doors for all of these other people. And it felt, I don't know if you felt this way, but sometimes I feel like, oh, if we want this thing, we can't have wealth, or if we want this thing, we can't have freedom, or if we want this thing, like, and so it was one of those moments where I was like, oh my gosh, like this really is complete. Like this is what we've been desiring.
Yeah. And so I think pulling it back to, you know, where we've been aiming our life for so long, like we've made all of these different choices in our life, but we haven't had a really clear and good template of where, like, how do we actually do this? And is this realistic? Is this possible? And so like what Paul just said, like getting going on this trip and getting exposed to these people that are actually living out what we have been imagining for years and just didn't really know like how possible it is.
We're just aiming in the dark. And finally we see somebody who's like a bit ahead of us with a torch and we're like, there are people on this path. It's not just us.
Yes. Yes. And they're actually ahead of us and they're successful in it. And so we had never been exposed to people like this hang on, pause for a sec.
Yeah.
So like, we're kind of talking about people like this, but we haven't actually talked much about what they're like.
Yeah. Well, and so we can say, like, you know, something about being exposed to the mm-hmm. multi-generational family team mm-hmm. through the book. And now we've gone on this trip and now we see people living it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, really.
Like, I think we need to talk a little bit more about, like, the value of, like, because, like, oh, these great people, but it's like, okay, so what? Who cares? Cool, these people are living a cool life. Like,
but so it's what? Not. Well, and,
I mean, to, like, I'm just thinking from the audience perspective.
Well, because we already talked about the life we're trying to leave, which is so different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you can more deeply expand upon,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, and what was it that they were doing that was so different?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that? Or you want me to do that?
Talk yeah.
about the book or what?
Check on the kids.
Okay. There we go.
Is it recording?
We're recording. Man, that used a lot of batteries.
Can you hear me?
Right now?
Hello? Hello? Yep.
It's yep. just this.
Okay.
We need a new one of these. I'll okay. order it today.
All right. Okay. There we go. There we go. Okay. Cool, cool. All right. So, editor, sorry. I don't know where we kind of left off, but just sew this together as best you can. Yeah. And so on that trip, we were surrounded by people. It was really cool because we were surrounded by people who were actually living out what we've been kind of piecing together and imagining and wanting, but yet we had never really been submerged in that culture of people yet.
Or seen families doing
what we've been trying to move towards. And so it was amazing to get, what I feel like what happened is, like, we were not only surrounded by people who were, like, doing this thing that we're, have been grabbing for, but there was so much more to it. And we were introduced to even bigger concepts, which is, you know, what this whole podcast is about, with this generational thinking and this integrated family and, like, getting language for all of this. So why don't you share a bit, like, more about just what is this multi-generational thinking? Like, what is that phrase that they use in the family teams?
So in family teams, they call it a multi-generational family team on a mission. And so the idea is that the mission lives on beyond you, right? And so you're building your family, and in other cultures, this is completely normal, right? Like, you might have a seventh generation shoe shop that for seven generations, they've been building this shoe shop. They've been, you know, learning the skills. They've been learning other skills to make the shop better. And in, like, our American culture, we have something that's talked about as, like, the nest thinking. Like, we think about having families in a nest, and it's like, once they get to a certain age, then they fly free. And it's just sort of like, our job is just to take care of them in the nest. And then once they're big enough, they just go out of the nest.
Yeah. And I think that, did you want me to talk now?
Yeah. You can talk.
I thought you were.
Or do you want me to say more things?
Yeah. Just, like, keep talking and teaching on these things.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Cause you were talking about, like, the nest.
Okay.
Like, in American culture, we yeah. have, like, this nest, and you can go into individualism and okay. all that.
And so with the nest kind of metaphor. Okay. And so with the nest metaphor, it's very individualistic, right? Like, if you think, like, an eagle or something, like, eagles, they fly, then they fly away, and they never come back. There's not, like, this, like, working together towards a common goal afterwards versus this tribe mentality, right? When you add someone to the tribe, they don't go out from the tribe. They stay in the tribe. They bring more value to the tribe, and the tribe brings value to them. And it's really just, like, literally makes my mind hurt, like, blows my mind just how different the thinking is. Because, like, even within our family, so, like, we're like, oh, we want a really healthy family. Well, what does a really healthy family look like? And so within sort of the American individualistic kind of way of thinking, it's like, you know, the sons go to individual sports. The wife has either her job or takes care of the home. The husband has his job or takes care of the home. Maybe they have their own sort of sports that they do or hobbies that they do separate. Sometimes they'll have hobbies that they do together, but that's definitely not the expected norm or the average. And you definitely don't think most of the time of families having hobbies together.
Right.
Right.
And, like, everyone's trying to live their best life and be right. the best version of them. Like, this individual, like, and even in parenting, it feels
that's
like
our job, right?
The goal of parenting is to raise kids that are the best version that they can be so that they can go out and succeed in life.
Right.
And it's this, like,
Like, we're building a bunch of individual pieces.
Yeah.
And then we just send the pieces out, right?
And, like, let the wind take it wherever it may go.
Yeah. And even in parenting, how completely different that is. Because, like, if I'm thinking about my sons from an individualistic way, I'm thinking, like, okay, I want them to be good at communicating, right? I want them to be good at having a skill to make money. I want them to be good at keeping themselves physically fit so they're healthy, right? Like, pretty much it can end there. Like, you don't need a lot more than that.
Right. And you just kind of set them up to, like, live the best life that they can and know that they're going to make choices and they're going to experience the consequences of their choices in the future. And, like, that's going to be that.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of how I was raised. I mean, there's a lot of things. Oh, I just heard yelling. Dang it. We're on a roll. Come on.
Keep it in your brain.
Okay.
Family.
Yep, individualism, family.
Okay.
Yeah, and in parenting, we're just...
Yeah, that's kind of the goal, right? Like, you just make a good human that generally doesn't ruffle feathers, you know, and then, you know, within that, you have, like, sort of your ideologies, and you might be like, oh, but I really want my kid to be an activist, or I really want my kid to be a CEO, or I really want my kid to be a star athlete. And then you are spending all this time honing them towards this goal for them to be the best thing of whatever thing you want.
I know, it's kind of weird, because, like, there can be these mindsets in parenting of, like, trying to chisel away to make this, like, perfect little, not, like, just this... Like, you're shaping them into the kind of person you want them to be, which I don't disagree with that to a degree, but the
it's
way
where are we aiming?
Right. It's where we're aiming. It's how we're shaping kids to, and we teach them to think in the me, myself, and I mentality. We teach them to think about what I want, what I need, how to be my best self. Right. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, and, like, two thoughts there. One is, I heard this great analogy, which is, like, you're not shaping kids like clay, but you're slowly, like, smoothly sanding off more like a marble sculpture. Mm. So it's already in there. The form is in there, and you're just, like, gently helping to, like, expose the beautiful detail.
And I think the difference, if it's okay if we go here now,
yeah,
if you want to pull back, that's okay. With the with this generational thinking, family thinking, the way I'm seeing it right now is, when you're parenting in terms of raising an individual child, you kind of, there's no glue holding them back to the center of the family.
Yeah, so no nucleus.
So you're shaping them and just letting them go off and live their life. Whereas when you start to think about life and think about your family in terms of a multi-generational family.
Or, like, a tribe.
And we'll talk more, because I know, like, we got to unpack this concept even more. But let me say this. So, like, when you are thinking in terms of this more connected, integrated, multi-generational family, you're still shaping kids and you're still, like, you know, chiseling off and supporting growth within them. But there's also something that tethers them to the family center.
And not in an unhealthy way.
Yeah. Yeah, that tethers them to the family center in a healthy way. There's, like, this glue that binds them, that weaves them into the fabric of the family tapestry.
Yeah.
And there's just, we have been so, so disintegrated as a culture. We're not even taught to, like, we don't know who our great, great grandparents were. We don't know our history. We don't know our background, our stories. Like, we barely know our aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
Let alone, like, our ancestors. I mean,
multiple generations back. Totally. Yeah. It's kind of going off of what you're saying, what came to my mind is this idea of, like, many pieces of yarn versus a piece of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a piece of fabric, it can be so beautiful.
Yeah.
Pieces of yarn, like, they're not even that useful. You know, like, they're just, like, in the wind.
Yeah. And it kind of, like, runs out and it's all one color.
Yeah.
Versus, like, when you have all the yarn knitted together, you know.
Just make this beautiful tapestry.
Right.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk a little...
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to close my thought loop. So when you're raising a child in sort of this individualistic thing, you're trying to make them as good as they can possibly be. When you're raising a child with this generational mindset, you want them to be the best parent they can be, mm-hmm. right? The best grandparent they could be. Because what's going to happen is now you're teaching them skills to recreate the family. And so they actually have within them, and Jeremy had this wonderful podcast about seeds, but they have within them a seed to reproduce versus like, if they're just being an individual and we've taught them to be the best individual, they're going to, you know, be the best individual husband to their wife, who's also an individual, to their children, who are also individuals, who then will be raised to be individuals, and it will just keep going. Versus when you teach them to be the best parent that they could possibly be, then that totally changes the way that you raise them, because you're like, okay, well, if they have this moral problem that doesn't affect other people, then maybe I don't have to deal with it that much, right? But if they have a moral problem and I'm thinking about my future generations, my grandchildren and their wife, then I'm like, oh, but this could definitely get in the way of being a good husband. Okay, well, now we have to focus on that problem. Like, now that problem comes into focus because the goal is ultimately like being healthy into the generations.
Yeah. And I would love to unpack even more, and even we can talk a bit about some of the families that we saw on this trip.
Sure.
For to paint a more clear picture of like, what is this word generational family, multi-generational yeah. family, this integrated family that yeah. we're talking about?
Because well, we're also entering at stage yes. one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that is a good I don't know, a disclaimer. Of like, we are new into this concept of a multi-generational family and an integrated family. While I believe that really for the duration of our marriage, we have been in some way, shape or form kind of pursuing this, and we felt like it's like that little seed within us was trying to pull us forward. We never had language and didn't have like a framework yeah. and concept for it.
And certainly didn't come from that. We came right. from a lot of dysfunction.
Right. But now we have the language for it, but we're still trying to like understand what this means, and especially what it means for us as the Parnell family.
Yeah. Well, and also creating applications. But we will also at the end give you guys resources that you can go further and deeper into these topics.
Yeah. And so why don't you share a little bit more about what does a multi-generational integrated family look like? A family on mission, like yeah. you were talking about.
Well, so a few different things set apart a family on mission. Number one is that the goal of the family is not to spend all of their time outside of the family, right? Like in America, we spend 80% of our time at jobs, in schools, like, you know, in vocations, in sports, in hobbies, and very little time within the family. Like there's not a lot of like, hey, being with the family is literally like one of the best things you could be doing. And I mean, I know like somewhere in me, that was always a feeling I had. And I've always tried to like push us towards that. But it also...
Just to clarify, yeah. like where being in the family was the best thing.
Yeah. Where I was like, I'd rather not give 8 hours a day to somebody else. But if I'm going to have to work, why wouldn't I work with you so that I could spend 8 hours a day with you? Mm-hmm. You know, and then when we had kids, like, okay, how do we create a work situation and environment so that we can have more family integration? But I just had no, like, I didn't have like words for that, but that was a desire. And so then another thing is that, you know, from like all of the generations until basically, factories started to become a thing, all families had a economic engine within it. Like mm-hmm. almost all of them, like whether you're farming or you have sheep and you're shearing or you're making yarn or you have a store or you're a merchant, like all of these families, it was super, super normal to have some sort of economic engine within the family. And it wasn't until we started to need men in factories that we started to pull men out of the family, where they were the primarily like running and generating these things with their family together. And so it was normal. Like you had apprenticing, your kids would be in the shop with you. They would be learning from a very early age. What does dad do? What does mom do? How do they do this thing? How do they do that thing? Oh, we've got goats. How do you squirt goat milk? Like it was all just integrated. It was very together. And I think that kind of leads us on to sort of the next vocabulary word, which is integration versus disintegration. Do you want to tell about that a bit?
Yeah. And so integration, I mean, it's a little bit what you're already talking about, but it's where the family, like in a family context, where the family members are connected together, that there's this interdependency that is happening among the members. And whereas disintegration is, I mean, it can happen both like with family members, like we've talked about, kind of this like floating away and everyone's kind of in their separate activities. But it also happens with like, I guess you could say like time, where your time gets just sectioned off of like, okay, this is my work life, my work friends. And then these are my hobby friends. Yeah. And then this
kind of your life.
Yeah. How, like how you, your life is just chunked off into these little pieces and segmented and pulled apart, instead of there being this interconnected fabric of like, my work overlaps with my play, overlaps with my family, overlaps with my friends, overlaps church. With my faith, like all yeah. of these different layers connect together. And when you do that, when you have a more integrated life like that, where these things layer, you suddenly don't feel so stretched for time, because you're not trying to like have enough time for all of these segmented things. You actually yeah. kind of hit five different things at once with right. one activity.
Right.
And
it also gives you space in your mind.
Yeah.
It reduces stress.
Yeah.
So anthropologists in one of the podcasts we were listening to was talking about how anthropologists said that there's never been a time in human like society where humans' lives have been so separated into these disintegrated mm-hmm. pieces, where you have, like you're saying, your work life, you have your family life, you have your church life, you have your hobby life, you have your kid life, you have, you know, your sports life. And it's just so, so, so spread out. And you have your internet life, and you have your social media life, right. you know, you have your email life. And it's just like so, so separated. And it's causing so much extra stress on our being, because mm-hmm. we're not meant to be, you know, this multi-divided being, but we're meant to be this like integrated being.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about the families that we interacted with at really both events. I mean, we don't have to get like specific naming names or anything, but what were some of the qualities and features and actual practical things that you saw these families, that we saw these families do, that kind of demonstrated, like, what did their life look? How was their life different than kind of what we've described in this like more individual way?
Yeah. I think so, at least for me, a lot of it was just through my conversations with the different fathers and mothers, of seeing kind of a broader picture of their life versus like what I was experiencing particularly in that space together. But definitely, like, we all celebrated Shabbat, which is like this day of rest that the Jewish people do. But
so what I'm trying to get at here,
okay,
is to have you talk about, like, just to paint a picture, like, still, because I feel like it's not crystal clear yet, of like what is a multi-generational family, like kind of giving, like painting the picture more so of like
living together with your,
like how like they homeschooled and they work with their kids, and they,
okay,
because like we gotcha. we're aiming for this, but we haven't lived this and don't have fruit of this, but okay. they are living this,
so,
and they
it's
have
really
fruit
just
of this. And so what I'm asking is for you to paint the picture of like what does their family life look like, and yeah. like how the grandparents are involved, and like okay. all of these different,
well, because you were saying the families, but it's really just the priors,
right? I was just trying to yeah. get more like
okay.
general,
okay, gotcha,
so that we're not like okay, exposing so people's life.
cut all of that, please, editor, and we'll start here. Yeah, so some of the ways that this multi-generational family team on a mission kind of manifests is, you know, one of the families, the kids, like, were homeschooled by the mom, but then the father would bring one kid to work every day, like a different child.
Well, and also I think something really important here is entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So well, we were talking about how like every family should have sort of this
yeah.
economic engine, or I guess how it mostly doesn't.
How it used to work.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I want you to keep talking, but just like that, how entrepreneurship really becomes a very important puzzle
aspect,
piece
yeah.
in making this
work. Yeah, yeah.
100%. And so that's how this particular family that we're thinking of has made it work.
Yes.
To
yes.
be integrated. Doesn't yeah. mean it's the only way, but it is a very, very important piece.
Yeah. It's super, I mean, yeah, it's super hard to do
that.
So
you were saying, like, with the kids.
Yeah. So, you know, they integrated their kids coming to work you know, with them once a week. And so whether they were doing their own homeschool at the same time, or if there were small things that they could do in the office and learn, so that they weren't separated, right? Like that's 7 hours or 6 hours or however much that time block was, where you still get to be with, you know, that child. Whereas normally it was just dad's at work and mom's dealing with everybody. Plus it's one less kid that mom has to manage, which is also very helpful, you know, especially when you have younger ones. And so that was one way. And then, you know, they, like, as the kids have gotten older, like the mom and some of the daughters and even the mother, either the mother-in-law or the mother of the husband, all started businesses together. The father and some of his other kids have started different business ventures, and then they have multiple businesses. So a big part of this idea of multi-generational family teams, there is a component of business, because you have to have something that generates the opportunity to be within the family, and also that the family can be integrated within. And they have a whole bunch of stuff on it that's super, super awesome and amazing, and we'll link some of that in our show notes. But another thing that they do is they integrate their faith, right? And so they have started these different nonprofits that produce certain, so that they can like push forward in their own calling and like what they're doing with God, and to really just have an impact. Because their goal is to, like, the mission part isn't making money. The mission is, how do we forward the kingdom of heaven? How do we touch people's lives and help them to come into like a better place with each other, with God, with the world? And to me, that was even just really mind-blowing and beautiful.
Yeah. And I think also, so just another layer to this, like integrated family, that helps to push forward this generational thinking is the family rhythms and how they have like these very regular rhythms that they do every week to create a glue for their family. So for example, like a Shabbat dinner every, you know, whatever night of the week they decide, let's say Friday night. And so number one, it helps with integration because it brings that the family together regularly of like, everyone knows to expect this particular, like, every Friday night, we're going to do this like big dinner together.
Yeah.
But also generationally, just think about that. When you have this one night every single week for 15, 20 years that you're participating in with your family, that becomes such a deeply embedded core memory and something that can become a tradition to pass on to your own family as you're building that. And so when you have strong family rhythms, then that actually becomes culture and history that your kids can then reproduce into their own families. And so I think that like these quote unquote regular mundane things that we do day to day and week to week with our kids, actually, like if we're super intentional with them, can become part of our legacy and part of this generational way of thinking.
Yeah, it's super good. And like with Shabbat in particular, so Jeremy, who's kind of heading this family teams concept sort of in America, I would say, they got a lot of this understanding from being submerged in Israel. And so on Friday night in Israel, everywhere you would go, you would see 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds all going back to their parents' house for these Shabbat dinners. Like, it was just super, super normal that the whole family, you would see, like, you know, 40 people would be going into this little house to have this Shabbat dinner together. And just how important it was, but also, like, this beautiful integration would happen because of that rhythm that you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, something that I want to bring up here, if you're ready to dovetail to kind of another interesting nuanced component of this whole picture. So, you know, here we are, we're talking about like an integrated family. We're talking about generational family. So we're talking about, you know, families that really stick together.
And some of you might be getting the heebie-jeebies, feeling really anxious.
And like, well, I would never want to do that. Yeah. And like, you know, and whether it's with your current family in terms of like, you know, you and your spouse and your kids, if you're just like, gosh, I can't even imagine like what that would be like. But often I think
Stumbling blocks.
There are some stumbling blocks for those of us who, and I don't even want to call them stumbling blocks necessarily, but there are some challenges, some roadblocks that we have when you have a history of dysfunction in your childhood, if you have trauma from your family, if you have had a very dysfunctional home, you could be hearing everything that we're talking about and being like, goodness gracious, like, I would never want that. I can't
even imagine.
Or I can't even imagine how to create that because I have no models. I have no templates.
Which is literally where we were.
Mm-hmm.
And why we are doing all of this and telling you about it.
Yeah. And so for Paul and I, we both definitely came from traumatic, dysfunctional backgrounds and homes. And so we absolutely understand the challenge in pursuing this. And I think this is something that we've processed together and even have talked to some other people within the family teams about a little bit, not too much, of like, you know, it's great if you come from a healthy home and like then you learn
slide
about,
right in.
And then you like learn about like this family teams concept and it's really exciting. You're like, cool, yeah. And like you just kind of
family even better.
Yeah. It's like, you know, family on steroids. This is great.
Yeah.
But it's like, what if your idea of family is like, ugh.
It was abusive or like, you know, there was trauma.
It's like,
or
you don't want to why would I want to reproduce that?
Right.
Why would I want this generational thing to continue?
Right.
Why would I want to be integrated with that?
Right.
I mean.
And we're not saying, to be clear, like that you must, in order to do this vision, integrate with very dysfunctional, unhealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it's your husband or your wife, then please seek counseling because obviously, like, but what we are saying is that like you can be, and I really liked this, the Abraham of your family, right? Like you can start the new story where God says through you, I will bless the nations. I will create generations and that you can take that story forward. And if you're a family that you had a great family and it was pretty good, then you can be, you know, that Jacob or the
Isaac
and carry it forward. And so like we're all on different places of our journey and that's totally okay. And for us, like we were coming out of all of this hard stuff. And so what that looked like for us was a lot of therapy, was a lot of like relational coaching. We're still doing relational coaching. We still get therapy. Like we still talk to people and are working on healing our inside worldviews and our hearts and our communication and a lot of these things and our triggers. Everyone's got, you know, if you know about triggers, you know all about triggers. If you don't, you know, check it out. But then slowly we're being able to come to a new way of thinking that can lead us to this healthier version of, you know, this multi-generational family team.
Yeah. And so I think that for those of us who have experienced this difficult past and we're still healing and working through that, we just want to provide some hope of if you're hearing what we're saying and it sounds interesting and appealing, like hang on to that and also continue to get resources and support in, you know, healing your marriage, working on parenting, you know, processing your childhood, all of those things. But you really can create a new family line moving forward. From starting from you, you can break the cycles and you can heal. And really, here's something else that just came to me right now.
Oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. So, did I hear children screaming?
Sweating in here.
Okay. Okay, holding thought.
Okay, your great thought.
Okay. So it just came to me right now, which I think really ties this together well. And okay, so this thought is that when you are a cycle breaker in your family where you came from dysfunction, you came from abuse, you came from trauma, you came from all of these hardships, and you have drawn a line in the sand and you have said, okay, no more. I am going to heal. I am going to change how I live, how I function, how I parent, how I'm in relationship with friends, with family, with spouses, all of that. You have put in a tremendous amount of work and energy and effort. And especially, I'm going to talk to those of us who are parents. When you persist in having an individualistic mindset, you can end up letting your fruit fly away when you have put in years and many tears into this work of cycle breaking. But if you continue forward in establishing your family from this individualistic mindset, where you know, because a lot of us, you know, who are cycle breakers, we say, I don't want my kids to have to go through what I went through. I want to give them a higher place to move forward from. Yes, 100%. And also, what can happen is we can still raise them in a way and of a mindset where they are in their own life and moving forward. And then we don't end up reaping the benefit of all of the hard work that we have done. And reaping the benefit, what I mean is like relationally.
Like a fruitful relationship with them and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren.
Exactly. Because, you know, we hope in all of the cycle breaking that we're doing, we are giving our kids a better life than what we had and better tools and resources to navigate the world. At the same time, like, to what end for us? And not that it's supposed to be selfish, but at the same time, like, what reward are we getting if we are healing and then just letting our children waft into the world? And actually, I think it's part of the pain that has been inflicted on generations is to not have an integrated, connected family.
Yeah.
I think... And because I believe that individualism has been so deeply ingrained in our subconscious mind and the way that we look at the world, think, and process, that it is actually an unhealed part of us that needs to get addressed.
Wow.
And so I...
Say that again.
Hopefully I can say... Yeah, why don't you repeat it back?
You're saying that you think that this individualism that's been so imprinted in us from the world is actually... like almost like a trauma, like it's something in there that actually needs to be worked out and processed
and healed, because we were built for belonging. We are wired as social creatures to be in connection, to be in relationship with each other, to be in community. And how many of us are trying to heal from the wound of not belonging
by ourselves?
By ourselves, which is kind of the irony of it.
Yeah.
But how many of us are trying to heal from the pain and the wound of not belonging in a friend group, in a family? Mm. And individualism continues to activate that wound. And so as we are healing and learning to emotionally regulate as parents and learning to, you know, speak, you know, all the things that we're doing, you know, I don't need to make the list. I actually also believe that healing the individualism mindset creates an even deeper, what am I trying to say? Like, it creates even more healing for us. And we also will get to reap the reward of all the work that we've done, because we will have built a family unit that maintains its connection over time. Yeah,
the integrity.
Like, yes.
You know,
is this making sense?
I think so.
Because it all just like kind of came to me and I see it and
it makes sense to me.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you want to like summarize what I said, okay, just to like drive it home, and then we can
summarize.
Wrap this up.
How come I always get the hard things?
Because you're really good at it.
Yeah. So basically, like, if we as parents continue to instill individualism within our family, we're continuing to break down the integrity of our family. So what happens with less integrity within a family is you have less strength, you have less relational like connection, you have less future vision. Whereas if we start to have a multi-generational mindset of the way we're parenting and building our family, is we start to build this tribe, this city, right? We build this city of integration, and it creates a strength and a unity within. It creates a strength and a unity within the family itself. And also, like, as, you know, our children get married, we can integrate those people and their families. And, like, before you know it, the tribe, if there's this lot of health there and a lot of love there, can grow and grow. And it becomes just this whole other beautiful, like, expression in the world. It becomes this whole other hold on.
What are they doing? Are they still out there watching?
Yeah. He just had to go to the bathroom.
Oh. That's funny. He has this whole other beautiful expression.
It becomes this whole other beautiful expression in the world. So, yeah. Families. That's what we're here for, right? Like, that's what this podcast is all about, is, like, healing from our brokenness into a healthy vision of a family. And I think all we've really added is, like, oh yeah, and that includes my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. So
yeah, amazing. All right, well, we are gonna wrap up this episode of Uncooked Conversations. We hope that you guys enjoyed and got something from it. So we have resources linked down below in the show notes for some of the books and websites that have been helpful for us in learning about this. So if you want to continue to learn, because like we said, we are still kind of in the early stages of learning and understanding of what this really means for our family and understanding it and how to apply it to our lives. So go ahead and check out the resources that are below in the show notes.
So one practical thing you could do if you want to take this idea into your family in a small way is just create a rhythm. And it could be anything, but what we recommend, because what's recommended to us, is a family dinner. Like, we call it a Shabbat dinner. You can call it whatever you want, but a dinner where you're like, on Friday nights, we slow everything down. We get all of our family together. We have a meal. And then within that meal, you can create traditions where, like, maybe in this particular meal, we talk about the week. What were your highs and lows? Like, you create a space to know each other and to love each other in that moment. So maybe one of your family members has a pretty big low and you just take a minute and you're like, hey, that sucks. Like, we really care. Like, maybe we can talk about later how we can help fix that or do something different. Or maybe they have a great high and you get to be there and just super celebrate them.
But hopefully they're having dinners more than once a week together.
Right, of course. But, like, sort of, I think the idea with the Shabbat, or the idea with this, like, family dinner rhythm, is that you have a special dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, this dinner is not the normal dinner, and you carve it out as something that's different. That's
so, like, deeper. Make a big deal of this particular dinner.
Right.
That so is, that, like, this is the family, like, the family night.
The family night.
Yeah.
You know, you could have games, you could do however you would like to do it. But that's one way you can, you know, in a small way, integrate this idea of family togetherness, integration.
Yeah. And so a new thing that we want to encourage you guys to do on every episode is, you know, it's one thing to listen to a podcast like this and have lots of, you know, hopefully great ideas come to you and to be inspired and all that. But it's a whole other thing when you take these things and you actually apply it and you work it out with other people. So in the spirit of Uncooked Conversations, we want to encourage you to have your own Uncooked Conversations with one or two people in your life this week. So our challenge to you is to pick just one or two ideas and one or two people and bring up the idea, the concept to these people and start a conversation with them. Ask them what they think about these ideas, or, you know, if they've even heard of it before, or how are they applying this in their life. But take something from this episode and start a conversation.
Yeah, you're going to find huge fruit. And plus, if you like these ideas and you're wanting to integrate them, nothing is better to, like, stick that in your brain than to start having to talk to other people and teach other people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, until next time,
we're on the journey with you.
Okay, let's do a couple. Let's do the intro. All right, you do the intro. We can do a couple ads. I'll do an ad for our shop.
Okay.
So do our intro. Make it juicy.
So do I start with this episode we're going to talk about?
On this episode of Uncooked Conversations.
Yep, okay.
I mean, or you can just, like,
how about I do a cold start?
Sure.
Just thinking about how I'm going to say it. Okay. Okay. Imagine you have six kids and every kid. Imagine you have six kids and every kid goes to a different sport every day. That gets super overwhelming really fast. You're taking one kid to swimming and your wife or your partner is taking the other one to soccer, to baseball, to whatever, to painting class. And at the end of all of that time, you come back together and there's, it's just kind of, hold on.
Yeah.
Started going somewhere.
More succinct.
No, I want to bring them in with a story. Because I want them to feel what family integration is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I got it. So imagine you have six kids and each one of them goes to a different sport or activity every day. And you're taking them, you take one to swimming, to soccer, to baseball, to painting. And then at the end of the day, you all get home, you eat a quick dinner, and then everyone's off to their iPads, their television, their computers, doing homework, and then it all starts again tomorrow. This is a picture of disintegrated family. Like, none of us are together, none of us are connected. And what we're going to talk about in this episode is the exact opposite of that picture, which is called a generational integrated family idea or family mindset. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about how it looks if we're planning for our future generations and how to start to have an idea of building together a tribe and this interconnected cohesion within our family.
I think that was really good. It was long. I think you could cut out the example of all the sports of like, imagine, and maybe like,
I mean, the editor can cut that out.
Well, maybe not saying six kids, maybe like four or five kids, something okay. That's a little bit more relatable to people.
Fair enough.
Imagine you have four kids.
Okay.
And you're taking them here, here, and here. Okay. That was all great.
Yeah.
Super good.
Okay.
Try to keep it at like 30 seconds. Even when you said just like, well, we're going to talk about the complete opposite of that, like an integrated generational family.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay.
That also sounds really good.
Okay. You don't think I should add something because they don't know what that is? Or is that enough?
I think that's the tease.
Because like we paint enough of a picture of what it isn't.
Yeah, that we're going to be like, we're going to talk about the opposite of that.
Okay. Okay, so I want you to imagine you have four kids. And you're going to work in the morning. You come home. You take them to their four different activities. Soccer, painting, baseball, whatever. You pick them up, you all go home, you have a quick dinner, and then everyone's off to doing homework or their iPad or watching TV, and you're just totally spent. You've got nothing left. That is the picture of a disintegrated family. And in this episode, what?
Oh, it was good, except what I loved that you said last time is like, you go to bed and then you wake up and do it all again. That was what really got me.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, but that part was really good.
Okay, I want you to imagine that you have four kids and you get up in the morning, you go to work your 9 to 5, you come home, you pick up your kids, you take them to their four different activities, painting, soccer, karate, baseball, and then you take them all home, you have a quick dinner, everyone's off to their iPads and their TV shows and doing their homework, you fall asleep, and then you wake up and you do it all again. That is the picture of a disintegrated family. But in this episode, we're going to talk about the opposite of that, an integrated multi-generational family team.
Cool. Piques my interest.
Nice.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do an ad for our shop.
Where do you want them to put the ad? Maybe before we start the teaching part?
Yeah, we'll have to listen to it. I might.
Just have them edit it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll listen to the first cut, and then you can tell them where to put the ad.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what am I going to say?
Try and make it an evergreen ad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess we'll always have shirts mm-hmm. in there. So if you're like, we've got this, grief.
Yeah, shirts, resources. I'm not going to talk about a specific
thing. I think specific is more compelling.
Okay. If you love the Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you are going to love our Etsy store, right? crypto or our online, our new online store.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. If you love the Uncooked, if you loved our Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you're going to love our new online store. We have just released some new shirt. We're going to be adding to the store every month. We're going to add new items every month. And some of the things we already have are, boom.
Yeah.
Okay. If you love our Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you're going to love our new online store.
We're adding things monthly.
Yeah. We add new items every month. Okay. Related to, okay. If you love our Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you're going to love our new online store. We're adding new things every month related to homeschooling, entrepreneurship, family integration, everything. And mental health.
Ugh. You don't have to list everything.
Okay. Related to helping you, like tools and products to help you become.
Tools, products to help you to become, but then also things to help.
To become and express your.
Yeah, and express.
To become.
Your best self. Your.
No.
No.
A
healthy family.
A healthy family. Connected. Okay.
Just remember, it doesn't have to be.
Okay. Perfect. I know. If you love our Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you're going to love our new online store. We're adding new items every month to help you express your love for family. Okay. If you love our Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you're going to love our new online store. We're adding new items every month to help inspire families like yours to get healthy and to also get practical in how they are moving forward in their healing journey.
You can find things on there like.
You can find things on there like Grief Sucks t-shirt. Or.
Maybe say the Grief Sucks t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay. You can find things on there like the Grief Sucks t-shirt or the Flexible Homeschool Planner.
And many more cool things will be. Or like many more.
And many more items like this. It's our desire to help you and your family flourish. Okay.
Now back to the show. Great. One more now back to the show.
Now back to the show.
Okay. Anything else we need?
What about your ad for your shop?
I don't know.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. We can be done.
I don't think our four listeners, it's really worth their time to listen to two ads. Okay. Okay, editor. Good luck.
Thank you.